today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
I'm reminded of Isaiah 58. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you will be like a watered garden whose waters never fail. And he will be your rear guard. How do we tap into that rear guardness of the Lord? We do it by praying to him. I want to encourage you, pray. And then pray twice. And then pray thrice. And then pray four times. And then pray five. Is your family worth it?
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, When You Cannot Trace Him, Trust Him. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and 11.
Hey man, if Michael Jordan walked in here right now, he got $2 billion, but many of you wouldn't ask him for money. You'd be like, I ain't asking him to pay for my light bill. I asked Bishop, but I ain't asking my. He got the money to pay for your light, but there's a stature. But I asked Bishop, hey man, I'm running short. I heard you came off. But Michael Jordan walk up in here, you say, that man got stature. There's just some things I won't even bring to him. Maybe a business idea I'll talk to him, but not my needs. Because when you gain stature, there's some things that don't come to you no more. That's why God is trying to get us to grow a little bit more. Tell you something else, when you gain stature, there's some people you can't hang out with no more. You used to hang out with them and it's cool, but once you start growing internally and sitting up straight, they don't feel comfortable with you. As long as you're slouching, got your shoulders bent, as long as you're down and out and you're just walking around and don't know what time it is or who you are, everybody wants you around. Start growing taller, lifting up your chin. Well, look at them, they're so arrogant. They don't understand that you're now growing internally. They don't know how to interpret that. That's what God is after. He wants his people to be a foot taller than everybody else in the world. Not physically, but internally. That you will stand out when you walk. You will stand out when they see you in the crowd. The enemy can hit you with the best shot, but you're still standing. Good God from Zion. Even if the seasons change, look at that tree, still standing. Even if a hurricane is blowing, it may blow off leaves, but I'm still standing. Look at that building after this earthquake. Look at it, still standing. We got to fix some cracks. We got to check the foundation, but it's still standing. You know why? Because it's founded and grounded on the rock. I'm going to look at height. The original meaning of stature was actually height. You can imagine that everybody of importance seemed to want to grow a foot taller physically. Metaphorically, we want to be taller. I don't know if a man in his room that doesn't say a wish he had a few more inches. Because something inside of us loves to see others look up at us. That's right. God says, I made you the height that you are. If it's 5'4", you can't make yourself grow any taller because I made you that way. But inside of yourself, there is no limits of how tall you can grow. We're focusing on, when we look in the mirror, what we're not. God is trying to show you something different. Stop focusing on what you're not or your limitations and start seeing that unlimited potential that's on the inside called stature that he's trying to grow in you in every season. So height, physical body, type, size, building. God is after all of us. He wants us to grow taller inwardly. God wants you, when you grow taller, it means he's preparing you to have influence over others who may not be as tall. So influence comes with internal tallness. Are you ready for the influence? If somebody tracked you for the next 3 days, could they do everything you do and say, I'm better? Or would they be shocked that you live two lives? If God says that you, your stature is coming, and with stature comes influence, can we trust you with the influence that we give you? Would you lead people into education? Would you lead them into forgiveness? Would you lead them into righteousness? Would you lead them into internal tallness and the things that go with it? Would you lead them into unforgiveness or anger, or start venting to them all of the venom and the poison that has been injected into you all of your life? What would you do with the influence that you receive? Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And no matter where you are, where you go in life, he also said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be able to come. And we should have that same kind of mindset. I will never leave you nor forsake you when God gives you influence. I will never leave you. You may leave, but I will never leave. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, wherever I've gone in my life, I want you to be able to occupy the same territories that I've been able to go in and thrive there. I want you to accompany me as I move forward. What good is it of owning the whole United States or the whole state of Florida and you're the only one in the state? You got all of this land, all of Disney and all of the stuff down in Miami, all of the stuff over in Tampa, all the stuff that's going on in Fort Lauderdale. You own it all, the whole Orlando, the old town, all the way to the max. You own all of Jacksonville, all of Tallahassee, and you're the only one riding on the road. You will want others to be able to come to your state and enjoy it too, right? You want them to be tall as well. You can teach how they can grow so tall that they can own a state as well. Write it down. Influence is under attack. And the way the enemy goes after influence is to hit your hope. I'm hearing an unusual sound. Do we have any? Okay. It just went off. Influence is under attack. Conflicts and intangibles have always been released to the people of God. You got to know how to deal with conflicts and intangibles. Inflictions, sudden inflictions. Sudden assaults that emanate from the dark side. There is an invisible sphere of existence, and the enemy uses it to come against the people of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it should be on the screen in a moment, in verse 4. There is an invisible sphere of influence. Scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. How do we deal or tap into the weaponry of the Lord? Number one, through prayer. Unless God watches the city, our labor is in vain. Unless God watches your children. I don't care how well you do it. Your labor is in vain unless God watches over the house. How do we awaken God to keep his perpetual eye on things that we can't handle? It's through prayer. I don't care how well you do it in the natural. You have gaps in your life. There are places you can't see. For instance, I can't see what's behind me. It's impossible for me to see what's behind me. The way I feel comfortable with what's behind me is take a look at my backside and take a look at what's behind me. And when I see, I see no danger, I can turn my back to it. But even if I investigate what's behind me, the enemy has a way of slipping through cracks. All of a sudden, I turn around and there's a big Goliath standing on my rear. That's why we need early detection devices that can help us with blind spots. I'm reminded of Isaiah 58. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you will be like a watered garden whose waters never fail. And he will be your rear guard. How do we tap into that rear guardness of the Lord? We do it by praying to him. I want to encourage you, pray. And then pray twice. And then pray thrice. And then pray four times. And then pray five. Is your family worth it? Let me change, because people don't do things until they see that it benefits them. Is your family worth praying all day? Is your children worth praying to God? Is your household worth praying to God? Is your business worth praying to God? You don't want it to burn, right? So you want to make sure you're talking to God, because he's the one that can wrap around everything you do. So we want to talk to the one that can handle it, right? Second thing is, you got to understand, prayer will always have opposition. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why would we need warfare? You know why? Because there's opposition above your head. There's opposition. There's a constant state of conflict over your head that wants to invade your sphere of existence. You have to keep the enemy out of your domain. But believe me, there is an intimidating spirit that wants to come into your realm and wreck your peace. Talk to God. Number three, envy is above your head. There are enemies that look at your prosperity and want to stop it from growing. And these disembodied spirits have entered into people that, as God causes you to rise, envy arises in them. I don't care what goes on in your life, they just can't tell you I'm proud of you. I don't care what you accomplished, they can't muster the words to say, I always saw something great in you. You know why? Because envy stops them right at the vestibule of praise. They can see you developing and growing, still won't say nothing. Instead of looking at the envy, look at God. Here's another one. Not only is there conflict above your head, we have what we call kingdom infighting. We should be fighting one enemy, but the enemy throws us a mustard bomb in the midst of us and have us fighting against one another. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the enemy will throw a bomb in there and have us fighting one with another. You know why? His ultimate goal is to hinder our hope in God. Then here's another one. Carnal resistance can inspire spiritual warfare. The more we live in that carnal mind, because the mind that's carnal is enmity or an enemy against the move of God. Again, the enemy doesn't necessarily have to come and live in your house if he can just get you to respond or to react in carnality. In other words, when you get mad, you just go off. All you see is red. You become Fred Flintstone. Touch your neighbor and say, calm that stuff down. You know you're a believer. You can do better than that. You don't have to do that no more. That's who you was. But God did a work on you. God turned you around. God transformed you. And he put hope on the inside of you. Notice when they're problems and issues. The enemy comes to hinder our hope or to stop us from being able to trace God in the midst of this constant state of conflict. He wants to hinder your overflow. To hinder your overflow. How does he hinder your overflow? Well, it's like this in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and staff comforts me. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and I have an overflow. How does he hinder the overflow? Well, right when you should be pumping into overflow, pain and suffering comes against you. You have the best of times right here and the worst of times right over there. You can see both. It's not like the best of times is in a whole different room. You have the best of times right over here and the worst of times right there. And if you're not careful, it will hinder the flow that God has placed in your life. But I'm just determined to blast off. I don't care what the storm looks like. I'm determined to come off this launching pad that I've been sitting on way too long. I'm just encouraged in the name of the Lord to be better and to be bold and to be bigger than I've ever been before in Christ. Let me make sure I qualify that, because there is no hope, glory to God, without Jesus. And I got to make sure no matter where he takes me, where he leads me, I will follow and I'll go with him all the way, because he's doing something in my life. And I'm not going to let the enemy kill my hope, glory to God, in Jesus. Hope is the helium in the balloon of faith. It will take you up over every circumstance and keep your flow going as long as you keep your heart connected with the Lord. The enemy will send some pain and suffering your way to hinder your flow. But don't let nothing hinder your flow. Notice, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, he causes me to eat and to be nourished and to elevate right in the midst of people who never thought it would happen for me. You want to know if God is with you? You'll see his fingerprint in the face of people that never believed in you. Amen. Let me just decree and declare, in this storm, God has already selected a few of us that's going to go to the next level. Come on, I'm one of them. Come on, can you say I'm one of them? In the midst of turmoil and conflict, the devil is not going to stop my flow. What he's doing is preparing a table before me in the presence. In the presence. That means they can see it. In the presence of my enemies or the ones that didn't believe. God says, I'm still going to do it anyway. And you're not going to stop my flow with pain and suffering. Get your face saved. God is building stature inside of you. And you can cry and still keep stature. You can be hurt and still maintain the stature. You can weep, because there's a time to weep. But it shouldn't diminish the stature that you have. There's a woman who was swimming in a channel, very tough waters. And she had went through this worrying, I'm talking about swimming for miles, and all of a sudden a fog came in and she couldn't see her destination. She was less than a mile away. I'm talking about she went, say, hundreds of miles swimming. She's just a mile away from the shore, but because the fog came in and she couldn't see how far she had to go, she quit. Not only did she quit, but all of those years of training, hey Shondell, all of those years of training. How you doing, Larry? All of those years of training. Hey, Mama, how you doing? Y'all all came down for Daniel's graduation? All right. Daniel, we're proud of you, man. Keep up the good work. Look at the family. Hey, Mama. Miss Sandra, right? Good. Hey, Mama. That's so good. She quit, right? Daniel, she quit because she couldn't see her way. Not only did she quit, the enemy was able to steal all of her training. Not just her reward, but all of the years of training. He stole that too. All of the time spent, the 12 years of working in school, just for this moment. He was able to steal it all because he couldn't see, she couldn't see her way. And I just want to encourage all of you, don't let this present life hinder you from moving forward. Don't let any pain or suffering that may come upon you to really kick out your hope in God. God says your finish line is right. Even if fall comes, don't you give up. You just keep striving and keep stroking, because eventually you're going to get to the destination that God has for you. Father said it to one of the prophets, my people are destroyed, not because of the enemies that's on their border. My people are destroyed, not because bombs is bursting over them. My people are destroyed, not because of pain and suffering. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You stop reading the word. Stop. I don't really need church. Really? There are some things coming in the next fog that only the word can prepare you for. As he elevates me, I can look over the Serengeti and I see 7 years ahead of you. And there's a fire there that only your faith will be able to extinguish. There's a fire 7 years down the road that's coming, and only your faith will be able to extinguish the fire. And if you don't have no faith, it's going to continue to grow and burn. So it may look nice now, but listen to what I say. The enemy has a plan for your life. Don't get relaxed. My people are stripped. My people are destroyed. My people are murdered. My people are desecrated because they don't have knowledge of me. Just a little knowledge will help you to rise above that. Don't give any attention to that. I know too much about God. I know too much about God to let this hinder my faith. I know too much about God to allow this to mess up my hope. Hope is a spiritual thing that God puts inside of us. And it's a driving force. It helps us to walk in the spirit. Not just faith. Hope is the helium in the balloon of faith. So if faith rises, it is hope that causes it to lift. You need both of them. They're inseparable. You just can't believe, because I can slap you so hard, you'll lose your belief. But if you got hope, you will rise above the slap. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Y'all forgot? Somebody got slapped, didn't they? If you don't have no hope, when they slap you publicly, you'll sit down and quit. I'm embarrassed. They messed me up. Everybody's laughing at me. But hope will make you rise up again. I can get back in the fight. They all said I messed up and I'm done. But I'm going to show the world I can keep it moving. Thank you, Lord. My people are destroyed. They're hindered. They're impeded because of a lack of knowledge. Whew. Which means if I knew a little bit more, I could have overcome that. You let this mess you up? Yeah. You got to learn how to say, I'm not going to let anything hinder me from moving forward in God. A lot of time God will use circumstance to identify misdirected passions. Misdirected passions. You have passion, but it's misdirected. Your passion is driving you to the wrong thing. And God uses situations to transition us from misdirected passion to reorient us, to get us on the right path so we can move forward. That's all he wants, is a reorientation. If you're spinning on the wheel of circumstance, woo, woo, woo. Most people focus on the spin, and that's why you get dizzy. Close your eyes. If you're spinning from one situation to the next, woo, 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 stop looking at the terrain while you're spinning. Close your eyes and trust. When you can't trace what God is doing, close your eyes and trust. Stop looking at the circumstance, because you'll get dizzy. Close your eyes and trust. And this is what you want to focus on. Not on what he's making, not on what he's pulling out of you, not on the water that he's slapping on you, and how muddy you look, pottery. What you need to focus on is that his hands are still on you.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, When You Cannot Trace Him, Trust Him, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2205-2208. That's reference number 2205-2208.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today.
In collaboration with Brevard Family Partnership, Helps Community Initiatives is looking for volunteers for the Open Table Model. Volunteers should have a passion for empowering and a heart to help individuals work towards self-sufficiency. Contact Loriana DeGennaro at 321-266-0603 for details. The Health and Wellness Ministry, in collaboration with Helps Community Initiatives, will hold a free CPR and first aid training for adults on Saturday, October 15th from 9 a.m. until noon in the Fellowship Hall. Everyone is welcome to attend, and we strongly encourage those serving in the Usher, Security, and Children's Education Department to sign up. Women's Sunday School is still on every Sunday at 10 a.m., so make sure to join Pastor Sabrina in the sanctuary.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
When a man or woman commits adultery, what kind of a sin do they commit? Let me tell you what kind of a sin. First of all, they sin against themselves. They sin against their own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." That means there's something absolutely unique about the sin of immorality. There is no sin more harmful spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally than the sin of adultery. Monogamous marriage, one man for one woman, was given by God, the Creator, for the protection and the development of the deepest psychological, physical, and spiritual needs of humanity. Marital fidelity is the glue that holds the family together, and the family is the core of society. Now you can understand why Satan has leveled his fiery darts against the home through sexual immorality.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.